Good to see everyone tonight. Direct your attention tonight to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intention of his thoughts, of his heart, was only evil continually." In the days of Noah, before God would destroy mankind and all life on the earth, except for that which was in the ark with Noah, the condition of mankind was that the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. Hard for us to imagine. Sometimes we talk about how bad things are today. It can be worse. And it probably will be worse before it's all over. But I also want to direct your attention to the fact that in the midst of a time when the thoughts of men's heart was only evil continually, there was a man by the name of Noah who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I want to talk tonight about finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. How do you do that? What does that phrase mean? What does it mean to be found in the grace of God? And to find grace in the eyes of God. One thing we know is that God is holy, that He is pure, that He is righteous, that He is truth and justice. God is love. He is merciful, faithful, light. In Him there is no darkness at all. He is a spirit. It's not like us at all. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we look at all of these glorious characteristics of God, and we look at the fact that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Noah sinned and fell short of the glory of God too, but he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How does one find grace in the eyes of the Lord when we are sinful? It's a good question to ask. And I believe it's very important for us to find the right answer. The word grace is from the Greek word charis, which means goodwill, loving kindness, favor. We've talked about this often, and I've told you whenever you see the word grace, you would do yourself well to think favor. Grace is kind of out there in the touchy-feely, undefined. People want it to be undefinable. But really, it is definable. In our language, it's better, charis is better translated favor in most cases. You have listed here a number of passages in which charis occurs. Look at just a couple of them with me. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor, charis, with God." Could have just as easily been translated, "You have found grace with God." It says, "You have found favor with God." Luke 2 and verse 52 says, "Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God." In grace with God, it could have been translated. And men. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." Galatians 1 and verse 3, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." And you'll notice that most of those passages that we have listed up there are within the first couple of verses of an epistle being written. And as we noticed this morning from 1 Timothy, that Paul wrote to Timothy, and his wish was for him was to be in grace and peace with God and so forth. So it was a common greeting that one would be in the favor of God. I want to call your attention back here to Luke 2 and verse 52. "Jesus increased with wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." He increased in favor with men. Now we know what that means, don't we? We know what it means for a child to be one who would be finding favor with the people around that child, right? And we also know what it would mean for a child not to be in favor with the people around them. So grace is not a mystical term that we cannot understand it. We can understand it, and I want us to understand it. So in the majority of cases, when we read the word grace, we should think of the characteristic of favor. But again, how can we who have sinned find grace, find favor in the eyes of God? John chapter 1 and verses 14 through 17, a very familiar passage to us, tells us in verse 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This was He whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of the full of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Notice here that God, of course, is full of grace and truth. You remember some of those characteristics of God that we listed just a few moments ago. He's full of grace. He's full of truth. And so also we find here that this is saying that Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, was full of grace and truth. Why? Because He was full of the character of God. Through Jesus Christ, verse 17, we who are in Christ have received the fullness of God's grace or favor for the purpose of making it possible for us to be found in His favor, verse 16. Look at those two verses again. The fullness of His fullness we have all received. Of the fullness of His grace and truth we have received. Grace for grace. Now look at verse 17. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Why? So that we might be in the favor of God. That God in His favor sent His Son to pay the price for our sin, to reveal the truth to us, and that we might be found in the favor of God as well. God's grace or favor is revealed to us in the Word, whether you were talking about the Word of God made flesh or in the Word of God in print. God's grace or favor is revealed to us in the Word of truth. We find grace, favor with God when we trust and obey His Word, whether it's the Word of God made flesh or whether it's the Word of God that He has revealed to us in Scripture, that Word of truth. Faith is the action of trusting and obeying the Word. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But hearing the Word of God alone is not faith. Faith isn't faith until it works. And so we read things like we see in James chapter 1 and verse 22, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So, yes, faith comes by hearing, but it's not faith until we do what God tells us to do. And when we do what God tells us to do, we are abiding in the Word of truth revealed to us by the favor of God so that we might be in favor with God. See how that works? It's this way or this way. That's what this passage is saying here. Therefore, through faith we find grace. We find favor in the eyes of God. This trusting, obeying faith. We find favor with God because God revealed this Word of truth to us through which when we hear it and believe it, trust it and obey it, we're brought into favor with God. And that's really what Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10 is all about. We are familiar with that passage. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God. It's not of works. Don't earn your salvation, lest anyone should boast. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And you might say, well, my Bible doesn't look like that when I read that passage. Well, I arranged it this way because I want to try to explain this as easily and quickly as I can. As we just sung, tell me the story plainly. And so I hope that this will help simplify our understanding, that we kind of fill in the blanks. You know, Paul wrote a lot of things assuming that we knew a lot of things. The people that he wrote to, he was assuming that they knew a lot of things. The Ephesians were not babes in Christ. They were familiar with the Word of God. They were familiar with the things that Paul was writing to them about. So, by grace you have been saved. By God's grace you have been saved. You have been, by God's grace, by God's favor, you have been given the opportunity to be saved. God, by His grace, sent His Son to die on our behalf, to teach us the truth by which, when we obey it, we are saved. So, in sending His Son, the Word of God made flesh, in sending the truth to us, we are given the opportunity to be saved. We're not saved simply because God wants us to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But He gives us the opportunity to be saved through the sacrifice of His Son and the revelation of His Word of truth. So by God's grace or favor, you have been given the opportunity to be saved through faith. The faith, not a faith, not some faith, not any faith that you hear, but the faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. And that not of yourselves, it, your salvation, by which you can be in favor with God, is a gift of God. By God's grace, by God's favor, toward you in Jesus Christ, as we've just explained. Not of works, not of your works, which you have devised, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, it's not our works, they're God's works that He has revealed to us in His Word for the very purpose that we should walk in them. When we walk in them, then we are practicing the faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. So from taking this passage and what we just noticed from John chapter 1 and verses 14 through 17, we see that God's grace or favor is revealed to us in the Word of truth. That's exactly what this passage is saying also. That God, by His grace, revealed the Word of truth to us, that we should walk in His Word of truth, be practicing the faith. We find grace and favor with God when we trust and obey His Word of truth. Faith is the action of trusting and obeying the Word, as we just noticed in Romans 10:17 and James 1:22. Therefore, through faith, we find grace or favor in the eyes of God, as we have here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10. We are saved through faith. Notice, by grace you have been saved. Not by grace you have been saved alone. That's not the end of the sentence. By grace you have been saved. But it goes on. You have been saved through faith. By grace you have been saved through faith. And so you could just as easily say, you have been saved through faith by grace. And really that's what this is saying. By the grace of God, you have been given the opportunity to be saved through faith. God, by His grace, gave His Son to die and pay the price of your sins. God, by His grace, revealed the Word of truth to you so that when you believe it, trust it, obey it, live by it, walk in the light as He is in the light, turn from unrighteousness to practice the righteousness of the truth, so that when you do that, you will be saved. Without God sending His Son, without God revealing the truth to us, you have no hope of salvation. So why would He reveal it to us? Because He wants us to be saved. Because He's a God of grace, of love, of mercy. He's a God of patience. He's a God of second chance. If you come back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 10, find some insight here as well. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That was His intention from the very beginning, that mankind would always be holy and without blame before God in love. Having predestinated or foreordained us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Why? Because He wanted to. And He's God. And He can do whatever He wants to do, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. You see, as we believe, trust, obey Him, live in accordance with His Word, are recreated in His image, Jesus said, born again. We're born again to the image of God, that all of that is to be to the praise of the grace of God, that God has allowed us an avenue of redemption and returning to Him and living for Him, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. So the glorious grace or favor of God provided the means by which we can be accepted before Him by the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice He says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. What's redemption? Well, it means to buy back, but in order to buy us back, He has to forgive us of our sins. Somebody had to pay the price for our sins, and that's what Jesus did in His blood. According to the riches of His grace, which He made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both in heaven and which are on earth. So notice here, we have redemption through His blood. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, through His blood. Notice, As we have noticed in Ephesians chapter 2, as well as in John chapter 1, we have been saved through faith by grace. But this salvation is found in and through His blood. This forgiveness of sins is found in and through His Son's blood. So, God, by His grace, provided the Savior in His Son, Jesus Christ. He's given us the Word of truth. But when the rubber meets the road, redemption, salvation, is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that was given, of course, by the grace of God also. But for us to be saved, somehow the blood of Jesus has to be applied to my sins. How does that happen? Well, in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 12 through 13, we read that we are buried with Him in baptism, in which baptism you are also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses, He made alive with Him, having forgiven you of all trespasses. So when we are buried with Him in baptism, we are also raised with Him through faith in the working of God. What does that mean? We believe that the Word of God teaches us, and it certainly does, that when we obey Christ in baptism, that God speaks, our sins forgiven. There is a working of God. It's not the water that washes away our sin. God speaks our sins forgiven. When we have demonstrated the fact that we've made a decision to be dead to sin and alive to righteousness. And we demonstrate that when we obey Christ, being baptized for the remission of our sins. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. You must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And so it's the Spirit that teaches us that we are sinners and that there's an avenue of redemption in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit that teaches us that our access to the blood of Jesus Christ is in that watery grave of baptism. That a man of sin goes into that watery grave of baptism and a pure, sinless individual comes up out of it with a determination to live to the glory of God from that day forward into continuing to trust Him and obey Him. In Colossians chapter 1 and verses 20 through 23, we read, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless above reproach in His sight. When does all that happen? It happens in baptism. It happens in the heavenly abode. It happens at the throne of God that the Holy Spirit says, this person has done what you said they need to do to be redeemed. And they are recognized as being redeemed, holy and blameless and above reproach in the sight of God. Find favor. You find favor in the eyes of God. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Once saved, always saved? No. Once saved, you keep yourself saved by the grace of God continuing to guide us into all the doctrine of Christ. Those on the day of Pentecost who obeyed the gospel, what did they do? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So we are to continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. And you will continue to be found in favor with God. Well, what if I turn away from it and start doing something else? I'm not going to be in favor with God. So this gospel which you heard was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, am made a minister. This gospel that you heard is the same gospel that's be preached everywhere in every generation. Don't change it. Don't monkey around with it. You'll do so to your own destruction. You want to be in the favor of God, you continue in the Word of God, the Word of truth, just as God, by His grace, delivered it to us. Finally, I want to notice with you Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous of good works. Saved by the grace of God? Yeah. How? God teaches us how to be saved. The favor of God, the favorable disposition of God to save sinners, has appeared to us, teaching us you can't be a sinner anymore. Live to the glory of God. Take on the divine nature, not turn from the carnal nature, and live to the glory of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How did he do that? Well, he heard what God wanted him to do, and he did what God wanted him to do. Noah's thoughts were not evil continually. Noah's thoughts dwelled upon the things of God. His soul was vexed from day to day with the things that he saw and things that he heard. Noah was one. When he heard the word of God, he would obey it. Are you like Noah? Will you turn from the sins of this culture and turn from your own sins to walk in His way and to be found in the favor of God? And if you have done that, are you continuing in His favor? Are you continuing in that which God has delivered to us by His grace? If you find yourself subject to the invitation of Christ tonight, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.